So, Jan and I have been gone for a couple of weeks, so I'll just give you a little catch-up so that you have a sense of what's been happening. First of all, let me just say that in the 2 weeks that we were gone, we traveled to Unity Village and then to our annual People's Convention, which was held in Olathe, Kansas this year, a suburb of Kansas City. And on that trip, I also picked up my wings for my airplane project, so that's unfolding nicely. And I had an opportunity to watch the service while I was away, and just keep my eyes on everybody. just so you know, I watched David's rite of passage service. It was awesome to see so many of you get up and be honored and recognized for your life's journeys and the things that you're wanting to honor and value. And then, so I actually made it back in town Saturday before Father's Day, but I just took the day off. I enjoyed doing that. But I went out at the restaurant, and during the service, I was able to watch right in real time. You guys were having Dennis, and Dennis was doing the service, you guys just do whatever you want when we're away. I love that about you. That's so cool. And I got to say that, Dennis, through your talk was masterful, and I do want to say that throughout the entire talk, I did not once feel a need for a PowerPoint slide. It was just really, really awesome, and it feels so good.
To be, this right now?
Yeah, I'm going to be using some PowerPoint slides. I'm not that far along. So it feels so good to be able to be gone, because you know, being gone is has impact. It changes things, and for Jane and I to be gone also, it changes us to have the opportunities that we have when we're able to be away and to be able to be with colleagues and others who are also in the effort, you know, other spiritual communities throughout Unity Land. And now Centers for Spiritual Living and Unity are moving towards a greater participation and partnership. So it's as if one new thought movement is beginning to emerge. And so that's exciting, and part of the theme, this year's conference theme, was all about looking at 12 years from now, and what we're going to become, or what we need to change in order for us to become relevant and be able to be sustainable in this economy and during these times. And this is just not something that's unique to New Thought. This is happening in congregational ministry throughout the world, basically. And so we had an opportunity to look at what the leaders of the New Thought movement are up to and what their effort is, as well as to be personally touched by the events that are happening in our world. And so I Jane did ask me to convey something, because she had an experience there that she's not able to talk about now, but I'm sure she'll say more about it when she returns. And we had a colleague. First of all, before I get into telling this story, I just wanted to mention that part of the conference that we participated in is looking at our evolutionary process, how we transform. And we've mentioned this. Jane and I both have mentioned the idea that we, as we look at our own transformational journey, are looking at four dimensions: waking up, becoming, actualizing this dimension of ourself that's infinite and eternal, the presence of God literally that inhabits us. We need to awaken to that presence. We need to grow up. We need to develop, evolve out of our sense of victimhood, you know, evolve into a greater expression of knowing that our entire life is always for us. We have some cleanup work to do. We have to look at what gets created when we're living in our own disconnect, and the consequences of what happens when society lives in the disconnect, living as if we're separate instead of really living in the awareness that we're one, and what we do to each other affects us all. And then finally, to show up, that this world is beckoning us, because what's needed is more of what we truly are with respect to who and what we've come here to be. And so the conference theme looked at waking up, growing up, cleaning up, and showing up. But in the context of our individual journey, as well as our organizational evolution, these are challenging times. And so what gets our attention usually gets our attention and defines what our life experience looks and feels like. Anyway, Sunday before conference, we attended a service at the Unity Village Chapel that was facilitated by Reverend Kevin Ross. Reverend Kevin Ross, here's a picture of him. He's an African-American Unity minister. He's a prominent Unity figure in our movement. He reminds me of a young Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he is, in my opinion, the embodiment of that soul. Anyway, he gave this is a picture of him leading a prayer at the House of Representatives at Congress several sessions ago. But he was the guest speaker at Unity Village, and we had 500 visitors from all parts of the world. And he gave a talk that was central to his ministry. He's a minister in the city of Sacramento, California, and perhaps you're aware of the young black man that was killed by the police, who was unarmed and was shot 20 times, 8 in the back, and only to find that he had a cell phone. And he was among over 200 ministers in the Sacramento area, out of which only 5 felt so called that this was something that needed to be addressed. And so he organized an effort to bring attention to this atrocity. And he spoke the words that rang really deeply true with Jane. And basically he said, "Not on my watch." In other words, there are things that happen, but should they be allowed to just go unanswered? And there's this yearning in the New Thought movement that is acknowledging that there are things that are happening that in some ways we're bound not to speak about because of our sensibilities not wanting to offend people. I mean, we have Republicans and Democrats and independents in our community. We don't want to politicize any position, but at the same time, we have to be in integrity with our spiritual dimension that is calling us into owning what is being created when we're living in our disconnect. And until we kind of recognize that there are some things that call us to do something, then we are kind of living in this sense of, well, somebody else will take care of that. Well, Jane and I have an interesting dynamic when it comes to what's happening in the world. And so if Jane could, she would throw things at the TV. She would kick it. If she had something that could be shot or thrown, otherwise we wouldn't have any electronic device in our house because this bothers her tremendously. And so when the things that are happening at the border with the families being separated, she lost it. And so she's asked me to read something. She knows how much I don't like to read in public. Oh. You know, Stephen's reading group. Okay, so here goes. She's asked me to read this, but she wants to apologize in at the same time, in the sense that this is not to be construed as being official position of Unity Spiritual Center. She's not wanting anybody to feel otherwise offended by this. She's just wanting us to kind of welcome this, and if we're aligned with it, she'll invite you to also assert your sign, your signature. So here it is. "Dear Congresswoman McMorris Rogers, as a mother, grandmother, and faith leader within your constituency, I am compelled to speak out about the appalling practice of separating children from their families seeking asylum at our border. I understand that there has been an executive order signed that is temporarily stopping the practice. Nonetheless, the families that have been torn apart through these unjust and trauma-inducing actions need your help to be reunited. Although you did not raise the alarm to help the president rectify this error, you have another chance to speak out on behalf of those of us in your congressional district who are opposed to this cruel and inhumane treatment of innocent children. The children must be reunited immediately with their families. This is a human rights issue and is even more urgent for the very young. Do not accept the excuse that this is too hard. This was done quickly. It must be undone just as quickly through immediate action. Sincerely, the Reverend Dr. Jane Simmons, Senior Co-Minister, Unity Spiritual Center. And then... widen this angle out so everybody can see this ovation. She'll be happy to have this as well received. I'm going to pass around this, and there's room for you to sign it. If you have an advanced degree or any other title that you'd like to affix to your name, I know we do have some PhDs and master's academic degrees in here. It helps to have those, and so I'll just start this around. So I just also want to mention that the Unity Worldwide Ministries, as well as Centers for Spiritual Living, are both affiliated with the Association for Global New Thought, otherwise known as AGENT, and that AGENT has also forwarded a letter to the President of the United States in reiterating what Jane has mentioned. So with that said, and with the senses, is that there are things that we can do, and so Jane feels like, okay, this is what we can do. We can express what is our values, what's important to us, and we still expect our elected officials to do the right thing and not to politicize that which is obviously transcends the political landscape, but yet when we're kind of compelled to endure a system that superimposes upon us a standard that is artificially created to sustain priorities that are not God-given, but yet priorities that that move an agenda of the world forward, but it's all always in the context of separation. It's always in the context of anyway. So, what was I going to talk about today? All right. So I'm also wanting to share that I believe that we have God has given us the ability to manifest a greater good in our life, that there's nothing in the universe that is holding something back from us. So whatever is your purpose or passion, whatever is something that is an innate longing for some expression of a dimension of yourself, we need to know that this is essentially a given. And the reality of our not experiencing this transcended dimension of life that is a reality independent of the conditions that we find ourselves, the fact that we're not experiencing an abundant life as Jesus has proclaimed was his purpose, to me is a matter of we're out of phase with that reality, that dimension of life that is our capacity to be present to whatever that we're having in our life and not feel diminished by it. And so regardless of what's happening in the world, we still need to develop the capacity to be with what we're having as our life experience, regardless of how what we're having looks or feels. We still have to have the capacity to be with whatever we're having and welcome it as if it's for us. If we're to ultimately transcend the conditions that we are sort of conditioned to push away in our life. And so when we have a situation that looks or feels against us and our conditioning is to push this away or to try to fix what seems to be broken in the outer experience, we're pushing away the very mechanism that life provides us with as the necessity to challenge our own beliefs, our own states of being, our own habits of being that keep us locked into patterns of behavior that keep the world functioning the way our world functions. And so if we don't do an intervention on our innermost self, in other words, if we don't come to terms with our own habits of being, with how we are having our life, independent of how the world is having it for us, we still have to have the ability to be with whatever we're having and not feel diminished by it. Can you see how that's so? Is that we still have to be able to be with whatever we're having and know that it is for us, even though it looks like it's not. And so part of our challenge in the context of what's happening in this world is to both be able to authentically respond to what are the atrocities or the inhumanities, the conditions that are appalling to anyone's modicum of understanding and compassion. We have to be able to both be in that willingness to open to see what needs to be restored, what needs to be awakened and unleashed. We still have to have that ability, but we are more effective if we can be in that effort, not diminished by what our experience is, not feeling less than, not feeling inadequate or not good enough. And so part of our effort is that if as Jesus says, or as if Scripture says, or if the principle says, it's already given, there is a dimension that's already established that if we but align with, all of a sudden, our world works differently. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you sense that there is a way that the world can work differently if we could only kind of position ourselves to kind of align with that way that this dimension of being that Jesus called the kingdom of God, a dimension of being that he described as a way of being with your life so that in the way of being with it, you automatically become the avenue through which a greater good is expressed. If we understand that that's what the invitation is just to simply be present, then what's in the way of our being present to the life that we're having is part of the challenge, is part of what keeps us out of phase with the greater good. And so part of our effort, therefore, is to look at what am I doing or who am I being that is negating the reality of the omnipresence of God, that is negating the reality of the omnipresence of more than enough, that is negating the omnipresence that everything is working together for a greater good. What is it in me that is misaligned with that dimension that I need to address? I need to align with it, because otherwise it's like I'm not standing in the light. I'm in some fashion apart from and separate from that which I'm seeking to align with. And so this is not a complex question. It's just a matter of us understanding what creates our own personal reality. Because if you have the ability to step both in alignment with this dimension as well as step out of alignment with this dimension, can we not see that whenever we are judging, we're stepping out of alignment? Can we not see that whenever we're naming what we have not enough, we've stepped out of the alignment? Whenever we are somehow making somebody else the matter with us, we're stepping out of that alignment. There are things that we are doing unconsciously because they are our driven way of being that automatically take us out of alignment with this dimension of ourself that's infinite and eternal. And we have to fix that. The world does not go there. So I've shared this slide before, and it keeps coming back, keeps finding its way into my slide deck, because it's important. And if you just take one aspect of any aspect of this cascade, like for instance, think about your habits of having your life. What is your habit of having your life? Are you in the habit of having your life against you? Are you in the habit of having your life be what's wrong with you? So you can just take any aspect of that. What are you in the habit of doing that takes you out of this field of infinite possibilities? What are you in the habit of believing that keeps you locked into limiting ideas and concepts about your well-being and worth? And so as we begin to understand that our habits of being, of doing, of having, of feeling, of believing, of perceiving, keep us locked into patterns that are in alignment with the story of separation and therefore modulated to this world that is not an adequate mirror to our own divinity. We have to know what the world is unable to mirror back to us. We have to understand what Jesus said. Lift up your eyes, the field are already white unto the harvest. He is trying to describe us to pay attention to a dimension of reality that our five senses cannot reveal to us, but yet is absolutely as real and as present as anything else that we can focus our attention on. So the last thing that I'm really wanting to point this talk to in the context of our struggle to awake, wake up, to grow up, to clean up, to show up, there's the deeper work of really looking at what we're carrying with us that runs us unconsciously. In other words, when we're not paying attention and awake, what happens when all of a sudden we're feeling our sense of not enough, or we feel that we're a disappointment, or we feel that our presence doesn't matter? What happens when we're caught up in those unconscious beliefs, and how can we break free from those? And that's what the cue process is all about. So part of our struggle in this ministry in terms of our effort to transform our lives and inspire people to make a positive difference in our world, we can't do that greater work of making a positive difference in the world out of our sense of not enough. We can't make the bigger difference in our world if we don't feel okay within ourselves. And you see, our well-being hinges upon our taking ownership of that portion of ourself, the little boy or little girl within us that is still living in the disconnect, and recognizing that that's our deeper work, is to awaken ourselves to that little boy or little girl and to receive and reparent that dimension of ourself that didn't grow up with the message from the moment that we were born, behold, the child of God. I've been gifted with the child of God. And because our parents weren't Mary and Joseph, we got something else. All right. So next week I'm going to talk about my cue card. So what's on my shadow card? I'm going to talk about how my shadow qualities show up. And it's going to be a hard talk for me to give. And I'm just going to invite you to bring your cue cards, for those of you who have them. If you have your cue card, I want you to do this next week. Please have compassion for me when I'm being a disappointment, inadequate, not enough, less than, or a fake. Because I've come here to be compassionate, devoted, integral, the one, generous, centered, and awake. Who have you come here to be? We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, for we know there is only one power, one presence, one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anyone who is here for the very first time.